Shabbo, reel number 11. Could you continue the story of how you're able to track down the causes of the mosquito wing failures?
Yes, I think I could. It brings up a number of points. The first one that I had anything, that I personally had anything to do with, there had been the instance, of course, of the chap who was bombing the petrol dump, following his bombs into the conflagration on the ground, by reason of the fact of his wings coming off. And that had spread amongst chaps who were flying mosquitoes. The next one that came onto my particular plate was a test pilot who was test running a mosquito just out from home. He did his tests. Was coming along doing his final run across the aerodrome, and pulled up at the end of his run, the thing went to pieces and distributed itself over quite an area of country. That one brought to light a most interesting point, which has spread right through anything that I've had to do with accident investigation, which is the fallacy of the sincerest person's memory. I think this is just quite well worth recounting. One of the people whose I was using as evidence on this particular case was one of the officers who'd been on the aerodrome when this chap had come making his final run across the field. And he described to me how the chap, in the course of his run across the field, had rolled this mozzie on his way across. And it had, in the course of the roll, it had broken up. Well, now, I was able to place the position that this chap was in. And he was between him and the field were some quite substantial hangars. He showed me the space through between these hangars through which he had seen this aircraft doing its roll. And as a hard fact, there was simply not sufficient room which was visible to this bloke between these two hangars that he could possibly have seen an aircraft rolled. It was just impossible. He wasn't faking. It was simply the fact that his imagination, after the event had happened, after the machine had come to bits, his imagination had worked this thing up, and he was convinced that it was true. It could not possibly have been true. Physically, it was impossible for him to have seen that. And in the course of the time which I've spent on investigating accidents, over and over again have I come across the fact that a person's memory cannot be trusted for more than almost minutes after the event. I've had other cases when one's investigating an accident. Almost always the thing is burnt up. One of the points that one wants to settle right at the very commencement is, was she on fire after she hit the ground, which is almost inevitable, she must have been, or was she on fire before she hit the ground? That critical point leads you to two very distinct range of possibilities. And so one of the things that you want to find out definitely is, was she on fire in the air? Was she on fire after she hit the ground? The pieces which are strewn behind will very often tell you the answer, but if there have been observers who've seen it happen, If you can get the answer to that right at the very commencement, it's very, very useful. It is absolutely extraordinary that I have had the sincerest people who have watched what has happened. And one is quite convinced that she came down as a ball of fire, bang. The other one is quite certain that she went up as a ball of fire after she hit the ground. And both of those people are telling the truth. Ha! I've got rather sidetracked.
The mosquito wings. You also saw
yes.
An accident, series of accidents.
Yes, now on the first one, which had happened on this test run at I think it was Allahabad, everything was, I came away without any definite answer to it. Everything was burnt up. And no difference. The second one, I started having a bit of a clue. I'd spent a tremendous time absolutely scrounging. This had gone to pieces up in the air, and the debris distributed over a lot of desert and jungle. And I'd collected an enormous amount of bits. I had a suspicion started on the question of the joint at the end of the main spar, but nothing conclusive about it. While I was working on this one, an aircraft went in at Ranchi, and again it was a mosquito. I was a little bit of a hold up on the one I was doing. I thought I might as well, while the Ranchi one was fresh, so I leapt into my faithful spit and humped over to Ranchi jolly good and quick, and I was very glad that I had done, because what had happened here was that there was a squadron which was out of the lines, and they were putting their time in practice against the time they should go back into the lines. And one of the things that they were doing was bombing a dummy tank. They had a dummy tank put up, and they were bombing carefully onto instructions. They were coming in at such and such speed, they were dropping their bombs at such and such position at such and such height and so on and so on, and pulling out in such and such speed, and all that was laid down. And so a very unique situation in accident investigation. One knew precisely what the aircraft was doing. Now, one of these chaps coming in and acting according to his instructions dropped his dummy bomb on the dummy tank according to instructions, pulled up according to instructions, and his aircraft went to bits. The wings came off in the same way that they had done with other accidents which had happened in the normal way. An extraordinary thing sort of a godsend for any accident investigator ever to come across. Definitely known facts. Not only that, it had happened on the range where they were doing these tests. And directly it was done, a guard was put over the whole jolly lot, and instead of the pieces disappearing and becoming fuel in some Indian chap's fireplace or whatever, or bits of metal which are being turned into whatever the Indian chaps may turn them into, one of the things that happened very, 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 very badly in India, your debris disappears almost as soon as it's got there. Instead of that happening, the whole of the debris was there, ready for the accident investigator when he came along. And in this case, the part of the wings which I had started, which had come under suspicion to me in the previous accidents which I had investigated, one of the wings was there, and its glue was in the same condition as the glue which had led me to suspicion of the other one. I went along to the hangar and opened up the wing of a Mozzie which was sitting on the tarmac, And the same deterioration of this particular joint was starting in the one that I opened up. There was the absolutely convincing, conclusive answer, and there was the answer to the mosquito problem. In this particular case, most unusual thing to happen, I was able to contact who was going home, was able to do a bit of following up for me and to trace the batch of mosquitoes which had found their way through to the Burma campaign, and was able to locate the a wing assembly subcontractor in whose factory the jigs to which the main boom was set up and glued were incorrectly set. And that is a most remarkable case. That is really a most remarkable case of an accident really being tracked absolutely right back to the very source. And there we are. That's the the mosquito incident.
When you opened up the wing of the mosquito, can you recall if the people who were going to fly it were there around?
I can recall a very interesting side issue on this. That my reports went to headquarters, and very soon, within days, I was told that two people were on their way out. One was a representative of de Havilland's, and the other was a glue expert from Farnborough. Now then, I put up my case, and there was a conference. The conference was called The Night That They Got. I put up my case to the conference, and they were not very impressed with what I was telling them. The following morning, I got an aircraft and humped off to one of these prangs which I had investigated and picked up the actual parts which had aroused suspicion and which in my belief were wrong, bought them back. The conference which was on had been postponed until the next night, and I arrived there at the conference the next night with this bunch of broken mosquito, chucked it on the floor and said, here are the bits. And so in the conference then, instead of trying to find that the accident investigator was wrong, concentrated on the two experts from London, concentrated on what shall we do about it, and devised a job to be done on the wing at the point of where the scarf joint was, which would stiffen that wing, an external plate, which would stiffen that wing enough, sufficiently, to keep the machines into action. The whole of the mosquito fleet in the country was detailed back to maintenance units, all of them concentrated on fitting this patch onto the wing. The mosquitoes went back into service, none of them ever broke up, and the Burma campaign went ahead. Jolly good show, I think it was.
And out of all the aircraft that you flew, which was your favourite one?
Well, there's no doubt about that. I've got my total of aircraft is something in the nature of 50. It isn't 50, it's 49, 48 or something like that. And starts with a cross-channel Blériot, finishes with a Spit. And of this lot, the Spitfire is undoubtedly the nearest to absolute perfection in flying. Anything that it does is done correctly. It hasn't got any vices or tricks. I've got three aircraft at the top of my list, and Spitfire's at the top. Next one is Camel, a very different aircraft indeed, which has tricks, and it will kill you if you don't treat it right. And the third one is dear little Moth Miner. I had a dear little Moth Miner in South Africa, and the Moth Miner and I used to tool around South Africa all over the place. Sweetie. Moth Miner's sweet little girlfriend. Spit, well, just perfection. I doubt if any other aircraft has, with the perfection of a Spitfire, has ever been made or ever will be made. I'm a Spitfire fanatic.